that all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Before we go to our sermon this morning, I'd like to read a quote for you. And I'll tell you what, we'll do that later. Amen. We'd open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And reading from verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and seeds, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. In other words, what God said came to pass. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seed after his kind, and the trees yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And then if we turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by or in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his values, his assessments, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance hath obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And then Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being, for we are his offspring. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Father, we have read several scriptures here purporting, O God, not purporting, but speaking truth, that every seed must come forth after its kind. We saw how your son Jesus was the firstborn in a vast family and how he came forth in the very expressed image of you, Father. And we know that if we also are sons, we are to be conform to that image, then we will express that image. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us, O God, because we know that we cannot do this within ourselves, but we know that it is you working in us, both to will and to do. And for this we're grateful, and we're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to continue with the thought that we had last night concerning our coming forth into his image, and showing our love for him by the way that we echo and reflect his very God life and his God love. I believe we're at the point in this end time race that we are to come more and more into harmony with our foreordained image that God had in his mind and projected forth to be manifested in this hour. In other words, harmony is when they really get along. So the image that God saw you to be, which is the same image as his son, because we come forth, we're conformed to that image. We come in more and more of a harmony with that image. Now, what most people forget is we are two-thirds supernatural beings and one-third flesh. We have a soul, a supernatural being. It's supernatural. In other words, it's not something you can see, taste, feel, smell, hear. And we have a spirit. It's supernatural. And when we have God's spirit, that's even greater, because that is the supernatural spirit. So just think of that. We are ordained as sons of God to be projected forth into manifestation, just as the scripture declares the projection of God into the body of his son, in which that body of the Son became the very expressed image of God to man. For we read in Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness of his glory, of his opinions, of his judgments, of his values, and the expressed image of his very person. Now, notice God's word that Jesus was the express image of God's person. Now, the word express means to set forth or to manifest or to show forth, to make known or to convey a representation, to represent, to squeeze or press out. I wonder if it's going to take to squeeze or press out to get us to manifest. To send by special messenger. And in genetics, it means to cause itself to produce an effect. To use of the gene expressed itself. To manifest the effects of a gene, the people who inherit the gene express it. To manifest a genetic trait, all in the study expressed the trait or the nature. And it is interesting that in our dictionary, over half the definitions concerning this word express have to do with genetics expressing an inherited trait or nature. Now, I think we as God's kids, his children, because we are trapped in this body, this natural body, we have trouble understanding the innate nature and traits that his Holy Spirit has placed within this earthen vessel. We struggle with this flesh. But let me just say this. Sometimes, and let me just, I may have it here. Yeah, I'm going to read you a couple quotes here. From Fundamental Faith and Foundation, Brother Bram says this: then unconsciously your faith is there. Unconsciously. You don't think about it. You don't have to worry about whether you got faith enough to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. See, I think some of you in here are worrying about your faith. Do I have enough faith to receive a change? Do I have enough faith to take hold of this flesh? Do I have enough faith for this or for that, he says. He says, you don't have to worry about whether you got faith enough to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. You just do it because the Father said so. Well, Dad, I don't understand the intricacies of electronics and electrical circuitry, and so I'm not sure if I turn the switch over there, it's going to work or not. Listen, I can give you evidence of at least two little children in here I've seen standing on chairs, flipping lights on and off, on and off, on and off. Right, Silas? Where is he? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to flip a switch. And you know what? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to have faith. All you have to do is believe your Father. Just believe him. Thank him for his word. And if your body doesn't seem to measure up to it, your spirit and your soul do. Because it's in you by his predestined. He's put it there. Listen, we want to think of Brother Branham and Moses and the prophets as being so super special that Moses could go and strike the rock and the water would come out. Listen, God told him not even to strike it. He said, just speak to the rock. Moses exercised his faith when God says, speak and go forward. Brother Bram said, if you only spoken, nothing would have happened. He had to put his foot into the water. Moses had to step into the water for the water to part. That's what he said. Get this thinking out of your mind that Brother Bram had great faith and I don't have that faith, so, you know, forget it. It's not about William Branham, it's about God. It's not about you, it's about him. It's about him. He promised to do, and he will do. All he wants is obedient children. Just obedient children. You don't have to worry about whether you got faith enough to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. You just do it because the Father said so. I don't know how many times I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again. My wife gets tired of me telling the same stories over and over again. But when I was in Uganda, and that tremendous storm was taking place, and I couldn't hear myself preach, and I don't hardly need a microphone. God's blessed me. Christian got a lot of voice coming from a little body. God's done the same thing for me. But let me tell you something. In my human flesh, this tremendous storm going on, I could remember back 8 years before that, the roof was going wobble, 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 just up and down, I thought it was going to come free and fall on somebody. That's how strong the winds were. And the hail was coming down, and the raindrops were about the size of golf balls, Then it turned to hail. And it was coming down just bang, 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 and they don't have insulation in their roofs like we do here. It was just metal, and that's it. So I walk over about as far away as that chair is over there, and I go to sit down, and before my backside touches that chair, something spoke and rebuked me and said, "What are you sitting for? Have not I sent you?" I didn't hear it here. I heard it in here. And I said, "Yes, Father, you sent me." He said, "Then take charge of the meeting." Not, "Oh, my poor little boy. Listen, if you just do this and this and this." No, he didn't tell me how to do it. He said, "Take charge of the meeting." I had no clue how to take charge of the meeting, much less take charge of this storm. I'm a human being like you are. We're all human beings. We're all sons and daughters of God. But something within me said, just start moving. God will do the rest. I took one step forward, and as soon as my left foot hit the ground, from the time I started moving to the time it hit the ground, it's like I had a 30-second mental vision, although I wasn't walking that slow. But it's like God compacted 30 seconds worth of mental vision. I saw Jesus laying asleep in the boat. I saw the storms coming and the waves tossing the boat. I saw the apostles, trying to wake him up. And then Jesus sat up and he said, "Peace, be still." I saw that all in about probably half a second, but it was about 30 seconds worth of, and I didn't see it with my eyes. I could see it in my mind. It was like a mental vision. And by the time I took my second step, I saw Brother Branham running around the tree after the storm, praising God for stopping the storm up there in Colorado. And so I knew what I had to do. The eldest brother and my older brother, because they're both older brothers, but one's the eldest, I had the example and the witness of two or three. Let all things be established. He said, "Take charge of the meeting." I had no clue in Brian how Brian could take charge of the meeting, but I saw how Jesus did. I saw how William Branham did. And so I walked to the pulpit, and the next four or five steps, the devil was on my back, said, "If you do it, you're going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to get a bad reputation. Everybody's going to call you, names and everything else. They're going to call you a fool." And I thought, well, I remember the guy that had the sign on his back. He said, "I'm a fool for Jesus. Who's fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for Jesus." He told me to take charge of the meeting. I came up and I said, "I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." You know why I did that? Because William Branham did that. Jesus did that. That was my example. And I came up and I said that, and I said, "Satan, I know that you're the prince and power of the air, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a bluff. Your stinger was pulled out in Calvary, and I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to stop." And you know what happened? The storm stopped. Now, was that Brian Kosorek? No. No, he said here, "You don't have to worry about whether you got faith enough to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. You just do it because the Father said so." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. He said, "You just do it because the Father said so, and it's the living Word in you and God in you manifesting Himself just like He was in Christ." You say he was in Christ? Yes, sir. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, even more than this, for I go to my Father. Now that's his word, St. John 14:12. He gave that promise. Everyone will believe that was inspired. Are you inspired to believe? I was. Because I knew it. There's no way that a human being could do those things, but if God said so, it's got to happen. And look, I had already been preaching on faith, on the faith of Jesus from Gethsemane and to the grave, and showed how Jesus just stepped into it by faith and said, Father, it's not my will that I go and go through this, but it's your will be done. And I'd preached how Moses had to step into the water before the water could part. I knew the basics. I knew the mechanics. But the dynamic spoke. And the dynamic speaks to you too. He tells you to do things. And many of the times we don't do the dynamic. We don't do the mechanics when the dynamic says do. And all you have to do, brother, sister, is just obey. He's your Father. That sweet spirit, that spirit that is within you by the Holy Ghost, that's his spirit talking to you in the inner conscience. He's just saying, do. Do. The works that I do shall you do also. St. John 14:12. He gave the promise, everyone will believe that was inspired. And so, little while and the world will see me no more, yet you'll see me. How do you see him? Because you see him, what he's doing in you. Hallelujah. From fundamental foundations of faith, he said, now, if we could throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, then the same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as a natural thing does. Just the same. Just the same thing. Because we were first created for that purpose. To control, to rule, to praise God and live for God. Now Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. Now the Father and his word is inseparable because the word is his Son. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word is made flesh and dwelt among us. God and his word is inseparable. You cannot have God without having his word. And when you have his word, you have God. Do you have his word? The measure of his word that you have is the measure of his spirit that you have. Brother sent me the first quote there, and I wanted to share that with you. Let me see if I can find my... Well, here we go. So the word express, as we mentioned, means to set forth or to manifest. And Jesus was the manifested expression of God. Now in Hebrews 1 and 3, we're told that of Jesus in reference to God his Father, that he is the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of God his Father's person. Now, this word person that Jesus is spoken of here is the express image of. It speaks of the person of God his Father. Yet in Hebrew, and the Greek word there is hypostasis. Now in Hebrews 11 and 1, same book, different chapter, Paul uses the same Greek word, hypostasis, when he said, now faith is the substance. The hypostasis. Over here in 1 and 3, it's the person. Over here, it's the substance. The same Greek word, translated two different ways. Then faith, if faith is the substance, and it's the same Greek word, then faith is the person. We don't have faith in things. We have faith in the person who made that thing. Amen? Faith is the person of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not a person, but faith is the substance. Faith is the person. Then if you do not have the person, how can you have faith? For faith is the person. Faith is the substance that we hope for. In 2 John 9, we read, if you do not have or echo because the word half is echo. If you do not echo the doctrine of Christ, you do not echo God. And therefore, God, who is the Holy Ghost, is what we hope for. He is the substance of what we hope for. He is the evidence of what we do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Because he is the invisible, immortal king. And so we see that Jesus was projected from the mind of God into physical substance as a person in order to reflect the very nature of God to a lost and dying world. And he didn't end it on the cross. That's why he gave us his spirit. That's why the same spirit that was in Jesus is now in his other, God's other sons and daughters. Because he wants you to project him to the lost and dying world. From his sermon identification, Brother Bram said, but when he seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man, Christ. As Paul speaking here, he says, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh no, no one could ever have done that but God. And then Brother Brown says, from Sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, now Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought, and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness. His gratefulness? Did you just read what I read from a vindicated prophet? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought, and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness. God being grateful. Why? For his kids. I'm grateful for my kids. And I'm grateful for my kids' kids. And those that even haven't come yet. And his attitude towards all mankind, he expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He could speak sometimes, they'd scratch their heads, they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time, look like, and something else another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works, my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. And yet God does share his glory through his children. But it's his glory. God doesn't take your opinions and his appearance and share them. No, God's opinion, when you've got God's opinion, it's his opinion. You understand? When you've got God's values, he didn't say, well, we're going to share values, okay? Your value is to go out and eat, drink, be merry. My values is this. And we're going to share. But no, God doesn't share his glory, his doxa, his values. But he'll manifest those values through you. You understand? Okay. That is exactly what the Apostle John in 1 John 1:1 says. That which was from the beginning. Now, what was from the beginning? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was God. And John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of what? Life. For the life was manifested. And we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and that which we've heard, we declare unto you, we speak unto you, we show it, we exegeted it, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Christ Jesus. So we saw the literal source of life itself live itself out among men in a body of his Son. God expressing himself in his Son, and Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was so one with God that all he did was what the Father showed him to do. The Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto, he said. In his sermon, Christ is identified the same. Brother Branham said, he was the manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father, and I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. When you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he expressed God. The Spirit was so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. Now you might think, how could two separate beings become one person? How could another person become the other person? How could that be? Well, Brother Branham always taught us, if you have the spirit of Dillinger in you, you'd rob banks. If you have the spirit of Beethoven in you, you'd create music. So if you have the spirit of God in you, you'll do the works of God. Because we are three parts to our being, and two parts are supernatural, while the flesh is just a mask or a vessel for our spirit and soul to dwell in order to express the life within. Therefore, if we are born again and God's very own life is growing up within us, then should not that spirit act out its own nature in our flesh? Should not the very nature of the life that is taking over our vessel project that nature through the vessel? What you're seeing up here doesn't originate here. It originates in this little computer down here on this little chip right here. Shouldn't have done that. Okay. From his sermon, Identification, Brother Branham said, if you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet, with the vindicated word, although you were in the minority? Or would you be with the popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that man's crazy. And the only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he revealed to Moses. And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and to the world. And us to the world. That's the only channel. For Christ was the image here on earth that you could see God in a man, expressed image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. See? That's the only way it can be done. Oh my. Would you be with the popular folks who had the popular opinion, as long as I belong to church and maybe because I dance in the spirit, I'm all right? Maybe because I spoke in tongues, I'm all right? Or maybe, well, we got a good pastor and I'm all right. We sat under a good teacher. That makes me all right. Now those things are loyal. I have nothing to say against that. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God. Dancing in the spirit is the presence and glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God that he projects himself, and you are his idol walking on the earth, the expressed image of him. Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God-sent message? Now think of it. Which side would you think, in your present state now, would you have took? Now be honest. Now we see that God wants to project his very life, his very nature, into and through our vessels, as he did through his own son's vessel. In fact, Brother Branham said that God had a threefold plan. To first project himself through his son, then through his other children, and finally to the place where we can have fellowship. He can have fellowship with us like he did with Adam back in the Garden of Eden before the fall. You put that off to the millennium. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. He wants to have that fellowship now. He doesn't want to wait till then. From Christ as a mystery, he said, now, that's when he can express the preeminence, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, that he could have the preeminences to express himself through them, plural. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshipped with them, and now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Wow. Also, from Christ is the mystery God revealed. He said first to express himself in Christ, and then he expressed himself through the church, and the same thing, Christ was the Word. And the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. Then it causes a short and it blows a fuse. See? But when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there, there'd be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. Through his church. Now listen, a church is not one person. I'm sorry. You can say, well, that's through William Branham. I'm sorry. He didn't say that. He said through his church. Church is wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. A church is a called out people. It's not one person. It's people, plural. And through his church have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man. Now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam coming back with the anointing of the Word because he said, my Word is Spirit. See? Anointed with the Word. What Eve turned down, he comes back and he accepts. Remember the quote we read at the beginning? And he said it should be just so natural. He said, you don't have to worry about if you have the faith or not. He said, just be obedient. And then he quotes John 14:12, and he said, that word is for those who are anointed. And now he tells us, your anointing is the word. My words are spirit, they're life, Jesus said. Shalom. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. See? In other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God. Or God expressing himself through an image, see, through an image man. God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Not a third person or second person, he was the person. He was God himself identifying himself so we could feel him. And as it was with Moses, Brother Branham said, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him in here. Looking up, and he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. Just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here, all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Amen? Well, then when you speak, and God is living in you, when you speak as an oracle of God, who's speaking? God. He's speaking. When you say what he says, it's got to happen. Now from the spoken word's original seed, we see paragraph 21-22 that Brother Branham is telling us that every seed must bring forth or express the nature after its kind. And we know he's talking about the Son of God coming forth or being projected as the very image of his Father. But in paragraph 23, he tells us that the Word of God keeps going on and on. As if he tells us that God has other seed also that must come forth and be projected into the same image, reflecting the same nature. From identification, he said, now therefore his loving character of love, oh, for us, it makes plain, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have eternal life. God projecting himself and become man that he might have upon him the form of his creation. Again, from Christ is the mystery God revealed. He said, God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and by the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. See? So it's not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on the exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. He, speaking of God, born in there, speaking about you, and he injects his own life and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through William Branham. Is that what it said? What does it say there? Through you. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you. With the preeminence to the people that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through William Branham. Is that what it says? What does it say? Through you. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called at all. From who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown spoke of projecting God's life into his son and called it enmorph. And now the Greek word enmorph means that he changes mask, and that's what he did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and morph, brought out so that he could be seen. Now the Vine's Greek dictionary tells us the meaning of enmorph is number one, the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. External appearance. Now I like that because faith is the person. And Jesus was the exact expression of the person. And the amorph is the form by which the person strikes the vision. Now think about those words, strikes the vision. Now what does that mean, to strike the vision? Like in a theater, you walk in, you see a large blank screen. But when the projector is turned on, when the light strikes the screen, the image is projected onto the screen. The light strikes the wall, and the vision that is in the light strikes the wall, projecting to you the image that was in the light. How many have seen, there's a YouTube video of when Prince Charles went to a meeting to talk about, the green stuff, you know. And he walks down this long platform. He gives a 30-minute speech. Then he turns to walk away and he disappears. He was projected by what's called holographic. They take several cameras, different angles, I think three, and they project him to one point. So when he's walking, they have to time this perfect. He's walking down the aisle. You see this man walk in. Three-dimensional. You can see him from every angle. He stood right there. Looked just as perfect as a human being as could be. You couldn't see through him. Looked like flesh and bone. Then when he turned to walk away, he disappeared. The audience was astonished. Now, we're talking about projection. You walk into a theater. Now, most theaters are one-dimensional. They're flat. You go down to the Omnimax, it's all around you. You kind of sit back and it's just, you got to reach way back to see the top, way down to see the bottom. Got to turn, just like that. It's all around you, just like this room is around me. So it's almost three-dimensional. That's what we're talking about God did with his son. God projected all the DNA into that. He took what's in this little chip, and I put into the computer here. It's projecting up here. But this is the source. Now, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship. And the fellowship is two fellows in the same ship, you and God. And you're walking hand in hand like Enoch did. And if you are truly walking in the light, then you and he become the self same person. Huh? Do you hear what I said? You and God become the self same person, just as Jesus and God became the self same person. His vision through the conduit of his light strikes you and you reflect him. You're not reflecting you. As Brother Branham said, the biggest hindrance I have is William Branham. The biggest hindrance Brian Kosorek has is Brian Kosorek. And if I can die to Brian Kosorek, then God can reflect his person in this vessel. Then it is no longer you that is living, but Christ is living in you. You are crucified to yourself, but nevertheless you are still living. Yet it is not you that's living, but Christ is living and expressing himself through you. And the life that you are now living in your flesh, you are living by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, whose faith is living itself out in you, in your life, for you, in you, and through you. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, shall phaneru. Then shall we also phaneru, manifest in our true character with him in glory. So if we appear when he appears, if we manifest in our true identity when he manifests it in his true identity in this hour, then he says that we shall appear with him in glory, which is the same doxa, the same opinions, values, and judgments that he has. In other words, we are to manifest when he manifests with the same mind that was in Christ. Then if it is the same mind, then it will be the same attitude that he had towards his Father's word. In fact, if you go to that scripture, it says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And you go to the NIV, it says, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. Amen. Amen? And in 1 John 3 and 2, we read, beloved, now. Now, what does that mean, now? Absolutely. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Oh, I thought it wasn't going to happen till the millennium. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. Well, let me just ask you this. When he's appearing, and you're just like him, and then you can see him as he is, how is that? Because you're seeing yourself, you're seeing him appearing in you. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. What's purify yourself? Get all the junk out of the way. Even as he is pure. Then if we believe when he appears that we are to be like him, wouldn't that create an atmosphere around us like he had? It did with Brother Branham because he was so yielded and an obedient son. Then why then are we not seeing the same thing among the churches today? I'll tell you why. There's too much, the people got too much of themselves. It's all about me, my, I, myself. Have it your way. All the slogans is pointing. Look, you get bombarded. No other age has been bombarded in their minds like this age. They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have all the ads posted up all over the place. You went to your job, you did your job, you went home. You met with maybe two or three customers a day if you were a carpenter or whatever you did. If you're a farmer, you didn't meet with anybody but God. Amen? You didn't have donkeys and horses that talked back. They wanted to argue, fuss. We are bombarded today. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the word worketh is translated from the Greek word energy. Energio. And it means to display one's activity, to effectually work, and it speaks of the energies of one doing the work. So our own predestination comes forth from God's own purpose. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him. God's own purpose in which he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And this word worketh is also the energy of God. And it means to show forth oneself. Therefore, it is the expression of the one who is doing the work. I'll give you another illustration, just in the natural. You can take a piece of virgin metal. It has no magnetism. But you can put a magnet up to it. If you put the north pole of the magnet, you will magnetize it to the north. If you put the south pole, you'll magnetize it to the south. It's raw. There's no energy in that piece of metal. But when you magnetize it, when you bring another magnet to it, and that energy from the magnet gets into that metal, now it's energized. You understand? These microphones, they don't talk. It takes an energy to speak, and they collect the energy, and it goes through the cords, and it goes out to the speakers. You are a vessel, John Shaw, and you are two-thirds supernatural. Don't limit those two-thirds by the one-third. You understand, Don? Nick? Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Who's working in us? It is God working in you, both to will and to do. Look, he's made it so simple. We don't have to press. We don't have to fudge and, you know, fight it. He's laid it all out in his word. He simply says, just receive it. Be obedient kids. You hear that, boys? Be obedient children. You hear that, girls? Obedient children. It's simple. Yes, Dad. So our predestination comes from God's own purpose. Therefore, it is the expression of one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. In other words, I put the magnet to the metal, now it's magnetized. Where did it get it from? The magnet. Right? I'm going to read that again. Therefore, it is the expression, the magnetism in the new piece of metal, it is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. So you see, then, it is not your doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way and letting Christ live out your life for you. Now, you might ask, how can I get myself out of the picture that God can live my life for me? Well, first of all, he is the Word, and he is love. Now, Jesus said, my Word is spirit and life. So the life must be governed by the Spirit and all in accordance to God's Word. That is the governing agent, or the boundaries that we have in living this life, is that God's Word is our conduit, and as long as the life is living itself out within the conduit of the Word, then we know that it is God's life that's living out in my flesh. Our spirit is governed by the Word. And what governs the Word? Love. For God is love. The Word without love is legalistic. Love without the Word is in danger of lust. But God is both the Word and love. And he is the life. So our life molded by his Word is governed by his love. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 6, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? By love. Notice Paul tells us again that our faith works by love. The word worketh is a Greek word, energeo, and it means energizes. Our faith is energized by love. Personal experience with God, Brother Bram said, oh, we see we have faith, we have love. But if we have love, we'd have faith. For that is perfect love casteth out all fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. Now notice, Paul said, our faith worketh by love. Therefore we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. From wisdom verses, look, Brother Bram said, don't worry about the faith. Right? It's there. You know, here's the thing. Brother Bell told me this years ago, 1979. He said, Brian, he said, I think when Brother Brown preached the statue of a perfect man, he said, people didn't understand it, and they went to seed on it. He said, and that sermon, because they didn't understand it, and he said if they would have gone to, I don't remember the paragraph he told me, but I could find it. He said, Brother Branham said, when you're born again, all seven steps, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all of those are in there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? But we got people saying, well, I've got to get faith first, and I'm working on faith, then I go to temperance. Then I work on my temperance, and then I got to go to virtue. Then I work on my virtue, and then I go to whatever, patience and godliness, and it's all there by the new birth. You're sons of God, right? Now I could take my magnet, and I could go to this chalk here and try to magnetize it. I can't do it. You know why? It's not the right substance. So then how is it that God can work in you to will and to do? Because you are the right person. You are the right hypostasis. You are the right substance. You know why? Because you're flesh of his flesh, you're bone of his bone. You're word of his word. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Bram says, the disciples had it sowed into them, then the Spirit come to energize the word. See, not by power, not by might, but by, not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this or that, by that, but by my Spirit, I will energize my word, by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. And from 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Now notice Paul speaks of works of faith. Works of faith, that's why I've got it highlighted. And your labor of love. And your patience of hope. All of those word of is an action taking place. The word of shows the possession and it means out from. And therefore we can read it as your work which spring forth or spring out from your faith, your revelation. And your labor which comes forth as a result of love. In other words, love is a catalyst. It is the love which produces it. Love, then, is an energizing power. Just tell any young man that's in love. Love is an energizing power. It produces. Now, in reading from the Weiss translation, we get a better appreciation of the scripture. It says, remembering unceasingly your works that are produced and characterized by the faith, by the revelation, which is yours. And your toil, which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love. And your patient enduring under trials, which find its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God, even the Father. Notice that Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, several years later, when he writes to them again, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2, he says, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul said, your faith is growing, and it is showing in the way you treat each other. From investments, Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God. He was what God, through his power, projected, a body which was called Son, because he was a man, and he come from God, and he was so committed to God, till he didn't think it robbery, that him and God being the same person. I'm going to ask you this. Can you die to yourself? And be so obedient to the Father that you would not think it robbery to be the same person. Because that's the image of the Son, and we're to be conformed to that image. You understand? And I'm not talking about many gods. I'm talking about many sons and daughters of God in the image of the Father. He was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery that him and God being the same person. And they were, because God was the Word and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And there's where God could take his Word without anything, any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted him to do, to be done. And there the Word could work through him there till him and the Father was one. And then he took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon that perfect life, and he died that we renegades could die to ourselves. Why did he die? Showing us how to die. That's a revelation. He died to himself, yet the most perfect life. Yet he died to himself and said, Father, my will is a little bit different from yours, but you know what? I'm throwing my will out. Not my will, but your will be done. And this perfect life that was always pleasing the Father, he died, as Brother Branham says, he died that we renegades could die to ourselves and be born above, and his word could work through us the works of God. And us is plural, by the way. Now remember, we read several quotes already where Brother Branham himself is quoting from the same scripture, and he says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to become the same person. Now, in order to become the same person right there, it shows that he was not the same person to begin with. And you were not the same person to begin with. But you know what? When you're born again, and the more you die to yourself, the more you're becoming the same person. After all, we read in the book of Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So if God made him Lord and God made him Christ, he wasn't that to begin with. In his sermon, Super Sign, Brother Branham said, now let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. And so I hope that you will understand why I constantly bring these things to your attention, because after all, we will all have to give account of what we have done with this great message that God has given to us. Every one of us, both small and great, we will have to give an account for what we have done in our bodies. And from contending for the faith, then notice Jesus said, as soon as this was done, he said, listen at his word, St. John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son. Is that right? Read it when you get home, the fifth chapter of St. John. Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself. Did he tell the truth? He had to tell the truth. In order to be God, he had to tell the truth. His words were infallible. He said, I can do nothing in myself. Therefore, he didn't heal one person in himself. He said, the Father shows me first by vision what to do, then I go do it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing in himself. But what he seeth the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. Then if God is showing you what to do, and you step into that, and you do it, that's the works of God. It's not the works of Don or Steve. It's the works of God that Steve and Don are doing. Now, then the question you surely must be thinking by this time is then, how do I become so one with God that his life comes into me to take over my life? How can I get out of the way so that his life lives itself out in me? That's the question of the day. And the only way you can do that is by his grace. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith. Now notice that revelation also gives us access into this grace. So what is this grace? Wherein we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, of the doxa of God. And not only so, but we glory. This word is not doxa. It's kauchamai, meaning to boast. So he said, not only so, but we boast in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And from Christ is the mystery, Brother Ransom, now, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all of that grouped together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, same things that he did, making the word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, well, Brother Branham, but that ain't. Oh, yes, it is. It is the truth. And from Christ is a mystery, he said, now look, Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Well, I'm going to add one thing. Christ's life in you not only makes him the center of the revelation, but Christ's life in you makes your life the expression of that revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See? See what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is a new birth? It is a revelation. And remember, revelation is defined as manifestation of divine truth. So it is the manifestation of divine truth of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook hands, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible. He is the word that was revealed to you, and no matter what anybody else says, what takes place is Christ. No matter if it's pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church is built upon. I'm sorry to say, but I think in this message, they believe that it was Christ in William Branham is what the message is built upon. And Brother Branham's trying to get it across to us that it's Christ not in William Branham, it's Christ in you.
Exactly.
The message to William Branham is Christ in William Branham. The message to you is Christ in me. You understand? You've got to put your name in that scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the reason for receiving the spirit of God is that you might know. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, look, it all comes down to this. God places his spirit in you to be in contact with soul and to replace your spirit. Now, his spirit is his word. And his word moves into the soul until the soul is so identified with the word that the hands do what the word says. The mouth speaks what the word says. The ears only hear what the word says. You become that blind servant who's blind to everything but what God has him to say. So you see, God wants to place his mind, his thoughts in you so that he can live in you. From contending for the faith. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand it. It's a mythical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes into you, everlasting, eternal life. Zoe, God's own life comes into you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. Isn't that beautiful, Derek? And how is that possible? Because you have the mind of Christ. Because you have the Spirit of God in you. Behold, I stand at the door. Brother Branham says, we become so earthbound with our finite ways of thinking to his great infinite mind till we just get one little course set up and we feel like we're just going fine. But if we could only look and see as God sees, how much different things would look and be to us. I'll never forget when I was a young man on campus. And I walked around. I was a football player, you know. You basically saw it all on campus. And it was just, that's the way people were. But when I got born again, you talk about a struggle. I actually saw things that I didn't think I saw before. I was constantly turning my head left and right. Like Job said, I made a pact with my eyes never to look upon a woman. You see, I begin to see as God sees. I didn't see it before. But now I was seeing how evil those things were, the way people were dressing and acting and everything else. You see, that's why Jesus prayed, as he did in John 17. In John 17, verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as in the same manner as we are one. And how is it that we might be one even as," which means in the same manner as Jesus and his Father were one. Jesus said in John 17, 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. Then in verse 20, he boils down even further. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory," the doxa, "the opinions, the values, the judgments which thou gavest me, I've given them that, in order that they may be one as we are one." So when you receive the glory of God, you're receiving his opinions, his values, his judgments, and that sets you in a oneness with God. Therefore, it's very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, which bring us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And from harvest time, Brother Bram said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, one man over the other, but that you might be one with God like Christ and God was one. And that's what the prayer is, that he was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have this certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further away from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And from divine love, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, God's love to the world, and God is love. And when God projected himself to the world to save the world, there could be nothing else but sovereign grace to produce a Savior. When God loves, something has to operate. And God so loved the world that a divine Savior appeared. His grace provided that Savior. It was because of his love that brought forth this Savior. And now in the days that we're living in, and in all days, we were born to be sons and daughters of God. We are offspring of God, and being offspring of God, there's something about us that believes God. There's something in you that calls out for something else. Mariola, your heart cries out for God. Why? Because you're born to be that way. You understand? Why does my heart cry out for God? Because I was predestinated to be a child of God, a son or daughter of God. From the message, look, Brother Ram said, Pharaoh did not have this potential. He was offered it, but he refused it. And when he refused it, then he couldn't focus. No man, after he's turned down the word of God, can ever focus himself into it, because you refuse the word that brings you into relationship with Christ. That's right. But Moses looked out the window, same window Pharaoh did, and he believed it. Why? Moses looked by faith. That's how Moses looked. Now listen real close to this remark. Faith. Now, don't forget to get this now. Faith is designed to see what God wills and wants. You understand that? That's simple. It's not something you muster up. When you're born of God, that faith is in there to see what God sees. It's designed to see what God wills and wants. There is no knowledge that can do that. Faith alone is designed and given to the human race to find out what the will of God is. And you take your faith that you've got, and it don't focus with the word, then leave it alone. You got the wrong faith. But when your God-given faith focuses you with the word, you're directly in line and you're zeroed in. Oh my. God, help us in this hour, this great hour that we live in. Faith designed to see what God wants. How do you see it? Through the camera of His Word, His promises. This is a full revelation of Jesus Christ. From the message, Why Christ Speak. Now watch what takes place now. Moses saw this by a vision, and Pharaoh said that. This is great. God said it's an abomination. So Moses chose what God said. Now notice, faith sees what God wants you to see. See, faith sees what God sees, and reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. It's like politics. Politics says political correctness. God's word says it's an abomination. The political world says, hey, it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be fornicator. It's okay to be adulterer. God's word says, none of them are going to be in heaven. I'm not going to share space with them. Oh, God believes in separation. Faith sees what God wants you to see. See, faith sees what God sees, and reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. Now notice reasoning. Why? It's only human sense. It's only reason to it. This is, well, ain't this a good thing? See, that's just what exactly you use those senses, which is contrary to the word. See, then that's what the world wants you to see. But faith don't look at that. Faith looks at what God said. See, you cast down reasoning. Now in Isaiah 42 and 19, Brother Vail brought this to our attention years ago. He says, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? And in the human reasoning, you say, who would want a deaf and blind servant? Huh? Human reasoning says that. I'm going to read from the NIV. Who is blind like my servant, and deaf like the messenger I sent? Who is blind like the one that is committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you have paid no attention to them. Your ears are open, but your ears hear nothing. You please the Lord for the sake of righteousness, to make His law great and glorious. Hallelujah. Like Brother Vail said, he knew a certain minister. He was a godly old man. And they were sitting on a plane together, and somebody had some type of just terrible music playing. Brother Vail said, I observed this, brother. Didn't bother him at all. You know why? He didn't even hear it. He tuned it out. From total deliverance, Brother Brown said, Jesus was completely, totally man. Well, if he's completely, totally man, he has to have a body, soul, and spirit. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. Now we are to be conformed to that image. You see, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit replaces the spirit. You understand? You are completely, totally man and women. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, the Holy Ghost is completely, totally God in you. So will you make your flesh submissive to the Spirit that's in you? Like Jesus did. You see, he was tempted in all manners like we are. He was a man. He wasn't an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. The Bible said that he was. He was a man, not an angel above temptation. Hebrews 1 said that he was. Hebrews 1 and 4 said that he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man, that God took a complete man to bring total deliverance. And he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. And he was completely God. And he proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas and the mighty winds. When he spoke to the trees and so forth, they obeyed him. He was God inside. And he could have been man, for he was man. But he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for service of God. and He is our example. We are men and women. We're also Christians. If He's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hand of the Holy Ghost that we might be subject to the kingdom of God. He was totally man, but He was also totally God. But He surrendered His natural parts. See what I'm talking about, John? He surrendered His natural parts and His physical parts and His own thinking and His own doing and His own cares. And He said, I only do that which pleases the Father. There you are, totally delivered from human being. The priest comes to Him, the great men, and said, Rabbi so-and-so, and tried to bribe Him into their affiliations and denomination, but He was totally delivered because He trusted in God. Did not the psalmist say, Thou wilt deliver Him? For He has completely trusted in Me. Now, in closing, Jesus was so committed to His Father that He did nothing but what God showed Him to do. He spoke nothing but what God commanded Him to speak. He taught no doctrine but what doctrine God instructed Him to teach, and He did not do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. In Romans 8:19, we read, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of us, sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of whom has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but we ourselves also groan, which have the first fruit, which have the Holy Ghost. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But we hope, we earnestly expect for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, because I believe with all our heart that we're coming more and more into an understanding that it's not about us, it's about just dying to us and letting You project Yourself through these vessels. And knowing that faith is not something that we try to muster up, it's already there. And all it has to do is just obey. Because obeying is trusting. A child trusts his daddy that if he jumps out off the burning house, out of the window, that he's going to land in the arms of his loving father. He doesn't believe that his father is going to pull away at the last minute and let him fall to the earth. And Father, we have a world that's burning and dying and groping in sin. So we're just jumping into Your arms. We're trusting in You and trusting in Your word. Be with us, O God, in the precious name, because You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name we pray.